the AM and FM 107 Radio Network, broadcasting from AM and FM stations around the country. Welcome to the Small Business Administration award-winning School for Startups Radio, where we talk all things small business and entrepreneurship. Now, here is your host, the guy that believes anyone can be a successful entrepreneur because entrepreneurship is not about creativity, risk, or passion, Jim Beach.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another exciting edition of School for Startups Radio. Got two fantastic women entrepreneurs to share with you today. First up, Zen Cryer Brook is with us. She is an expert on living a fear-free life without anxiety, stopping your procrastination, a lot of things that are going to help you focus and get more done without any fear. And so you can just live a happier life. Fantastic. After that, Cynthia Fisher is with us. She is the primary stem cell entrepreneur in the world and basically created that industry. So impressive. And her husband, so cool, is Jim Koch, who was on the show yesterday, the founder of Sam Adams Beer. Talking about a power couple. That is the definition of it. Both just a lot of fun to be with and to joke with. So I think you will enjoy both of them. Anyway, it's a big show. We got a lot to talk about. So we better go ahead and get started with Zen. Big show. Here we go. We're off and going. You know, being an entrepreneur, a lot of times comes down to trusting your gut, trusting your intuition, and knowing whether you just feel comfortable or not. I think our first guest today is going to help us a lot with that. Please welcome Zen Cryer DeBrook to the show. She has had a fascinating career doing all sorts of useful things for other people. She is the inventor of your inner GPS, the internal PS positioning system, also a keynote speaker, and on a mission to eliminate mental fear from the human species. She's been an entrepreneur herself, starting her first business back in the 90s, and has since then built a very great career on helping others. Her most current company is called Fear Free Human. I love that idea. Zen, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Good. Hi, Jim. Thanks for having me on.
So is Zen your real first name?
Yes, it's my legal first name.
Wow. What if you had turned out to be a really uptight, bitchy person? What would your mother
have? I think my mother would actually say that I'm glad I was that way as a teenager.
That doesn't sound very Zen-like.
Yeah, I know. I think we all have our sides, and so we're all doing our best, you know?
That is true. That is true. I went to the doctor the other day, and all he said was, take it one day at a time, and then he walked out.
Oh, no. That's not very uplifting.
Yeah, I wasn't very impressed with that treatment. But anyway.
No. That's awful.
Tell us about yourself, Zen. How did you get started in this? And well, just tell us your story.
Yeah. Well, when I was younger, I had a pretty traumatic, abusive childhood. And by the time that I was 17, so much had happened. I decided that if I could just get away from my family, everything would be fine. They were the problem. Well, I emancipated myself and headed out into the big bad world and found out that I had taken on all the traits. And so I went in search of how to get rid of the anxiety and the fear and the overwhelm that I was feeling with life at 17. I had dropped out of high school and was working, and I stumbled across this experience where I found that if I'm tight in the center of my body, your throat's tight or your chest is tight, or there's that sick feeling in the solar plexus, that it was related to what I was thinking, not what was actually real, not the dire things that my mind was producing. And when you play with your thoughts, I've discovered you can release that instantly. And when that tightness releases because you change your thinking, the world around you goes into flow. And the synchronicity begins to happen, and you get to you just are in the right place at the right time. So I went from high school dropout to getting my degree from UC Davis in foreign policy to being one of the first internet experts in the world in the late 90s. Now I know expert sounds like a lot, but there wasn't a lot to be an expert of in the beginning of HTML and websites, but I became a usability specialist using this tool. So whenever you feel this tightness, it means what you're thinking isn't true. So where you're limiting yourself, or where you think someone around you is being rude to you or disrespectful, like with a spouse, for instance, we have all these tightening thoughts. And I created this, I decoded, not created, the internal guidance system. And it took me, like I said, from about in about 8 years from high school dropout to a multi-million dollar CEO company where I was the CEO of it. And we had an office in London as well as in San Francisco. And then it walked me through the crash, the dot-com crash. And all of my friends who were also in companies that were crashing horribly all around us, sleeping on couches, losing everything they own, they started to notice that I wasn't stressed out about it, that I was taking it on as a challenge, and that I was getting us out of debt and the company still exists today. And they asked me to teach them how to do this. And so I've spent the last 25 years of my life continuously decoding this and training others, from corporate leaders and major, you know, Fortune 500, Fortune 100 companies, to the stay-at-home mom who's homeschooling six kids and about to lose her mind. And it works for everyone. And it's a miraculous thing that we're all born with.
Okay, so before we go into what we're born with, is there a name for the feeling that you're describing? It's not anxious. It's not, what is it?
It is. So this is the thing, is we didn't know what these feelings meant, so we started naming them things. Anytime you're feeling any of these things, you're what I call closed. That tight feeling I call being closed. And when you find the thought that where that tightness releases, it's called an opening. So anytime you're feeling worry, fear, anxiety, overwhelm, doubt, guilt, frustration, irritation, procrastination is actually not a character flaw. It's guidance to stick, to hold back. I can share that with you.
Why? My wife's not going to believe that one for a second.
Well, here's the thing. I'll share it with you. So there's four reasons why we procrastinate. It doesn't need to be done at all. That's number one. Number two is it doesn't need to be done by you. There's somebody else that needs to be doing it. We hang on to projects all the time where we actually need to hire somebody, or there's somebody in our household who's better at it. It's not the right time, or we're making it too complicated. We need to simplify the way we're approaching something. When you run the internal guidance system through these four things, the one that is the correct one to cure the procrastination moment will open you. You'll feel a release inside. And that's how you know, oh, I'm making this too complicated. This doesn't need to be done at all. We have lots of things in our lifetime that are on our list that never need to be done, that our minds made up is something we need to focus on all the time. And so I've run people through this, and procrastination is literally that. Think about it. It's tightening. It's anxiety ridden when you're like procrastinating on things. Your mind begins to take over and tell you you're lazy or there's some brokenness about you. And it's not true. There's a reason. And those are the only four reasons I found. And they work every time when you run your thing that you're procrastinating on through it.
All right, let's run something through it.
Okay, great. Give me your
fear procrastination. Being interviewed by me. No, that's too stupid. Doing my taxes.
Yeah. Okay. Do they get done every year? No. Are you behind on them? They don't get done every year. You're behind on your taxes.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So now let's look at it. Do they need to be done by you?
The first several stages, yes.
So hold on. Wait. No. Hold on. Just start with, do they need to be done by you? Just hold that thought and notice if your body tightens a little bit or if you feel a relaxed sensation.
I certainly didn't tighten.
Okay. So we're going to call that an opening. So let's go to, so it needs to be done by you. That's accurate. Now let's go to the second one. You're making it, or I'm going to go to the fourth one. You're making it too complicated. Hold the thought. Just, I'm making this too complicated, and notice if you tighten.
I did.
Or yep. Okay. So you're not making it too complicated. All right. Does it need to be done right now? If you hold the thought, does it need to be done right now?
Within the next 2 weeks? Yes.
No, I'm saying hold the thought. You're actually not feeling your body so we got to drop into the body and feel it. There's more wisdom in there. It's unbelievable, the accuracy of this system and how it will lead you into a place of synchronicity. So it needs to be done by you. Is the timing like right now?
Yes.
Do you feel an opening?
No, I felt closed. I'm anxious now. I'm starting to sweat.
Okay. So that anxiety means it doesn't need to be done right now. So are you able to put in a deferral, or what do they call it? What do you call it when you put in the taxes online. Extension. Thank you very much.
Done it already.
And can you do it again?
No.
Okay. So then I would say it needs to be done by you. And the timing is not exactly right now because you got anxiety. So now hold this thought. I will be inspired to do them soon. Do you feel a release or a tightening?
A release. I would love to thank you.
Well, then that's what's true. You're going to get in there and all of a sudden they're going to jump on them and they're going to be done. Just hold that thought. I'm just going to wake up and I'm going to feel like doing them. That's usually what happens to me with my taxes. Is I procrastinate on them and all of a sudden one day I wake up and I feel like going through the receipts. I feel like putting it all together.
Okay. I might have to, you might need to breathe on me and infect me with
this. Well, you know what? Here's the thing. I've got a quick start. I got a really great little program that I'll send you and you can play with your IGS for a few days and then you'll learn how to do this. It takes a little more time for me to learn it. I mean, to teach it and for you to learn it than 5 minutes, but yeah, sure. It does work and it will. And just trust that you're going to, and I'd love for you to actually circle back with me after 2 weeks and see if you woke up one day and you just felt like getting it done, because that's what usually happens. And we beat ourselves up in the procrastination moment the whole time. And the purpose of the way I designed this exercise for people to go through different things in their life is to get us out of that, because being in that level of beating ourselves up, flogging ourselves for not getting something done when it's coming, the time is coming and there's a divine timing to everything. And so you got a closing that it wasn't this moment and you got an opening that you will be inspired. Circle back and tell me if it happens, please.
I will. So let's go through the IGS a little bit more in depth. The internal guidance system, trademarked.
Yes, it is trademarked.
So we have to say that every time, apparently.
No, you don't. It's just for others to know that.
Tell us about the birthing of it and give us your best definition and how to implement it.
Yeah, so because of all my trauma, I was sabotaging my life and I kept losing jobs. And I had a really bad temper and I was very shut down. And so a friend of mine gave me a cassette tape from Abraham Hicks, Esther Hicks. I don't know if you, do you know her?
No, I don't.
So she teaches the law of attraction. And my friend is trying to show me that I was sabotaging myself, that I was creating my experience of having all this hardship. And I got that was great. But she just was answering questions in like her living room and on this cassette tape back in 1993. And somebody asked her, how do you have the most successful life? And she said, if you are feeling shut down tight in the center of your body, you are walking away from what is on your blueprint for your life. And it will create disharmony and lack of success. But if you are open and centered in the center of your body, you're in alignment with your thinking, and that is what will carry you forward to have great success. And I sat there and I listened to that so many times, because each time I like blew up at a job and they told me to leave, or a roommate problem would happen and I'd bolt, I was super tight inside and I knew it. And so I started playing with it because I couldn't find any information from anywhere else about it. I went to libraries. We didn't have the internet back then. I went to libraries. I contacted the person that I heard this from. They said, we don't have any teaching on that. And so I started playing with it and I figured it out. And basically, anytime you feel that tightness, it means that what you're thinking is old patterns and not true or not going to happen. And so coming from the place of it's not true, for instance, like they don't like me, or why haven't they called me back, or I'm not smart enough for this job. Those kinds of things were plaguing me. I would stop and go, okay, I'm closed. That means it's not true. So what could be true? And I started playing with my thinking. And I would find that as soon as I hit upon the correct thought that was going to carry me forward in the direction I should be going in, that was going to be successful, the center of my body would release. And so I began figuring out how to do this, because the problem is our mind believes it's right in every situation. We think it's right that our spouse is doing X to us, or we think it's correct that we didn't get the job because of so-and-so. And if we're tight, it means that that's not what's true. And there's all these different types of thought. For, like I said, doubt, right? Not believing that something's going to happen, or impatience, not believing you have enough time, And that's when you drop in, you go, okay, I have enough time. How do I make this work? And I teach people, I've taught over 40,000 people to do it, and I haven't had anybody that can't, and we're all feeling it, and we have it all wrong. We think that what's going on outside of us needs to be controlled, and what's going on outside of us is true in our way that we perceive it or think it. And it's not. It's what our it's the only reason we have suffering inside of our body, other than physical health, is because of our thoughts. And our thoughts are developed between the ages of 0 and 7. So we're working on all this old programming that we got from the way we watched our parents or whoever raised us handle life. And the coolest thing about this, Jim, is that when you go from a closing to an opening, you start a new neural pathway. And that old thought, that old program, that old limiting belief, that old thing that we have that tortured us in our heads, it goes neurally extinct each time you go and you move to the opening. So what I found is that trauma and problems and situations in our business where we feel stuck or locked in, we can't break through to the next level, is able to be reprogrammed by this system. And we don't have those challenges anymore. We're literally able to upgrade our neural pathways as we do life, going like phone call to phone call. You can be on a phone call with a client and your whole thinking is they're going to quit, or they're going to leave, or they're mad, and you're closed. And you're like, no, they're not quitting. Ooh, and you open back up. It changes the whole dynamic of that conversation, because you're no longer coming from fear or an idea that's not true, where you've been rejected in your childhood. Now you think everybody's going to reject you, and it's holding you back in your sales or your delivery of your product. And so training people to do this completely transforms their life very quickly, because they're handling these limitations and these closing thoughts as they're in their moments of their day, and they're rewiring their brain. And the experience is fun. It's really fun to find these things and get rid of them. And all of a sudden you wake up after a month or two of using this system that you've already been born with, and your life feels completely different. You feel completely different. You're reacting different. The fights go away with the people in your life, or you know to let them go because it opens you. So it's very profound. I taught a lot of business leaders and gotten to the next level because, you know, as business leaders say, people who are in training, it's all about mindset. Well, how do you know which mindset's right for you?
So the system, is it something we could work through right now and give a mini example?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's do it.
So, okay. So the key here is to quiet your mind. So I want you to feel the bottom of your feet, and all your listeners can do this too. Feel the bottom of your feet. You're going to notice they kind of feel warm. Maybe a little tingling starts to happen as you pay attention to them resting on the floor. And then feel the palms of your hands. Just put your attention on them. Just putting your attention will start feeling a warmth or an energy, like they're waking up. As you're paying attention to your feet, the bottom of them, and your hands, I want you to hold this thought. Just let it float through your mind like a cloud does through the sky. Feel your feet and hands. Here's the first thought. I do not have an internal guidance system. Just hold it in your head. Try not to argue with it. If your mind's going to throw up thoughts, just feel your feet and hands again. Quiet the mind. I do not have an internal guidance system. Now we're going to go to the next thought, which is feeling your feet and hands for a moment. I do have an internal guidance system. Noticing any sensation as it floats through your mind in your center of your body. Did you feel anything?
Yes, but it wasn't what you were hoping for. I can't feel my feet or my hand. I have Guillain-Barré, and so I have lost sensations there.
Well, we'll go a different way.
Okay.
Just because for the sake of time, I want you to think of your taxes.
Yep.
Think of not getting them done and having repercussions.
Yep.
How do you feel in the center of your body?
Like I want to throw up.
Yeah. Okay. So that's closing. They're not always that strong. And the stronger they are, the stronger the closing is, means the less true your thought is. So just holding that in your mind for a second with your taxes, I want you to hold this thought. Try not to argue with it. You have a very powerful mind. Just try to hold the thought. Doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. Okay. Here's the thought. I am closed. That means what I'm thinking is not true or not going to happen. Hold it for a couple of times. Hold it. Think it. Notice if there's any difference in the center of your body.
Yeah, definitely, because my mind already moved on to something else.
Okay, well, if you had held on to...
But that's because I gave myself the freedom because I wasn't worrying.
Yes. So, did you notice the closing go to a lessening and there is a lighter or if not gone all the way away?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, so that's basically what you do with anything that's closing you. The trick and the challenge is you'll believe your mind until you've played with this enough to where you see it work out. It usually takes about a month or two of doing the training for you to begin realizing that nothing that's closing you is true. I've had students write out everything that's closing them that they're going through their day to just make sure that this is true, that this is accurate. And they've come back and reported nothing that I wrote in my journal that was closing came true. Not a single thing. I'm like, I know. If something is bad or hard or is going to be a challenge for you, it will open you because it's true. I had breast cancer and I was in the shower and I was doing my exam and I felt a lump. And my first thought was, oh, this is different. This is cancer. And I opened. And immediately my mind, of course, like anyone's would, came up with, oh my God, I'm going to die. Closed. Immediately closed back down. It's like, oh, I'm not going to die. Open. I was able to use this to go through my thinking. I knew that I was getting a double mastectomy. I wasn't going to need radiation. I wasn't going to need chemo. I had a fear-free cancer journey. That's where the fear-free human movement came from. Because I realized that no matter what we're going through, we can get clarity and guidance and a strategy to handle it that's opening, and we don't fall back into the anxiety. We don't stay up all night worrying about it. We don't have a reaction to it. We don't overreact to it, which a lot of people will be in fear and they overreact and cause their lives to be miserable. And this works, you know, and I realized we could go through an experience on this planet together where we're not in fear. We're not in anxiety, overwhelm, frustration, irritation, right? We're not completely alienating other people or feeling like we can't make it, so we've got to steal or lie or deceive. This clears all that up because you become centered and you realize you have something inside of you that can lead you, that you can trust. You can trust yourself in various situations. You can know the truth. And I think it's the most important time in history right now for people to be able to tune in and know where they're supposed to be, what they're supposed to be working on, and just escape the lies that are causing the anxiety and fear in our culture. And so that's why the mission came about. After that fear-free cancer journey, something as big as cancer, I was able to move through without fear. And then I have helped many, many other people who got cancer to move through it or lost their job or, you know, through the economy in different situations. I've been doing this for 19 years, so... I've walked people through a lot and it always works.
What a beautiful story and congratulations on the cancer success. That's just absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
What do I do if I can't get to sleep tonight and I'm sitting there worrying? Give us a short-term fix for can't go to sleep at night because we're worrying.
Yes. So this is the thing. The first exercise you do is anytime you feel that anything I listed, that tightness, the first step is to connect your mind to your internal guidance system. And the phrase to use is, and you want to use it exactly like this, I am closed. That means what I'm thinking is not true or not going to happen. And what you'll find is you'll feel a lightness. That's an opening. Any level of release of tension is an opening. And you'll feel it. You'll be like, oh, okay. Hold that thought a few times in your head. And you're going to notice because it's true and you're not ruminating on the fear, you're going to open back up. And then once you've got yourself open, I have a trick, which is count backwards from 20 to 1. Generally, nobody gets through the third one time doing it. You just focus on the numbers. If the fear and the worry and anxiety comes back, stop, go, I'm closed. That means what I'm thinking is not true. Oh, there's the release. Because what you do is you're training your mind to look for the opening instead of creating the closing. And beautiful. This will work. Okay.
I love it. How do we find out more, follow you online, get some of your teachings?
Yes, go to fearfreehuman.com/start. And I have a free quick start. It's 16 videos. You can go right through all of them. There's no cost to it. And it'll get you the exercises and some of the mindset that you need behind this. And by the end of that, you'll be able to use your IGS on a beginner's basis. fearfreehuman.com/start.
Fantastic. Zen, thank you so much for being with us. Great information, and you have a wonderful smile.
Thank you, Jim. You have a great day.
You too. And we'll be right back.
And no action on climate change? Introducing The Real Environmentalists, the bold new book by Jim Beach. It's not about activists, politicians, or professors. It's about the entrepreneurs, real risk takers, building cleaner, smarter solutions, not for applause, but for profit. The entrepreneurs in the book aren't giving speeches. They're in labs, factories, and offices, cleaning the past and building clean products for the future. The Real Environmentalists is available now because the people saving the planet aren't the ones you think. Go to Amazon and search for Real Environmentalist. Thank you.
We are back. And yes, we really, really do appreciate you being with us. I am very excited and honored to introduce you to my first guest today. She is driving an organization that I believe in wholeheartedly. It's called PatientsRightsAdvocate.org. And it does very clearly what it says. You should have the right to know what it's going to cost to go to the doctor. To have an operation, there should be a cost. You know, when you buy a car, you know what it's going to cost. When you go into have an operation, shouldn't you know the price? She is fighting to bring that to all of us and is doing it in a really creative way. And I'm excited for you to hear that story. But there's a lot more about Cynthia Fisher than just that you need to know about, because she is such an entrepreneur and fits in to the show so very clearly. She started in, let's see, what year was it? 93 Viacord, which was the big cord blood stem banking company that we've all heard about. She also then later started ViaCell, which went public in 2005, and did, long telemedicine, Cynthia? Was that a telemedicine company?
Well, yes, actually, with the Viacord business, believe it or not, back in 1993 when I started it, we were not only a telemedicine company way before its time, but we also were price transparent. How about that?
Oh, so you were doing both.
Yeah, so back in 1993, we started a medical service company in the biotechnology world of stem cells, where any expectant parent mother could choose to bank her newborn baby's stem cells for their potentially life-saving use as an alternative to bone marrow. So we did the very early transplants for treating cancers like leukemia, certain genetic disorders that child's cord blood was either used for the baby itself or another family member. And it was price transparent. So people knew the price before they actually procured the service. A novel concept in healthcare. And much of the care was handled via the telephone. So guess what? In the days of healthcare today, fast forward, that's what we're fighting for now in Washington with the nonprofit organization I founded, PatientRightsAdvocate.org. To allow patients to have the right of access transparently to such critical information and be in control, in the driver's seat, to control their precious, hard-earned healthcare dollar.
Well, Cynthia is also on the board of directors of several companies, including Boston Beer Company. That's got to be the coolest company in the world to be on the board of. I want to go to one of their annual meetings.
Well, you're welcome to. I think this year it's going to be a virtual meeting,
Yeah. But
it's usually at the brewery. And one can say it is a lot of fun to be in beer. Beer makes people happy. And so one would argue Boston beer maker of Sam Adams is actually responsible for mental health care as well, making people happy, especially during these challenging times.
And Cynthia has been featured all over the media. You see her all over the place. And I think my favorite thing is she's on the board of directors of the National Park Foundation. Oh, and her husband was a guest on the show a week or so ago, but we're not going to tell you who it was. We are going to make you guess. Cynthia Fisher, welcome. How are you doing today?
Oh, Jim, I'm doing great, and I'm happy to be here on the show with you.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Okay, 10 years ago.
Thank you.
I got married, and to celebrate my marriage. My wife and I checked into the hospital for a bowel resection. They took out a good chunk of my 22 feet, and we spent 91 days in the hospital. The woman spent the first weeks of our marriage sleeping in that vinyl chair in the corner, Cynthia, so I know she really loves me. How do you price for that?
Well, your wife, God bless her, she's priceless.
There you go. That's right. She's MasterCard priceless.
By your side. She is priceless. That's a certain kind of love that, you know, you carry with you forward. You're a lucky man, Jim.
I know. We got four great kids now. And this is hysterical. Cynthia, she
and
was
thank
my...
thank goodness that you're doing well today. So,
yes.
Thank goodness for the great quality health care that you received at that time.
Exactly. Okay, but I was expecting to be there 5 days, right?
Okay, let's hear more.
And I could understand a fixed price for a 5-day bowel resection, right? But then you throw in a little paralysis and a little sepsis and a little Guillain-Barré and kidney failure. How do you price? You see, you understand my question now.
Well, isn't that interesting, Jim? Because, you know, only in healthcare, like you were talking about at the beginning of this call, unlike grocery, like, can you imagine if that you go to the store and you go get a gallon of milk and then you come home and you don't get the bill until weeks or months later and you find out it's a $500 gallon of milk. But when you went to the hospital, you actually most likely having an extended stay of, what was it, 91 days with all sorts of complications. One could say you were mistreated, possibly even misdiagnosed at times, and I would bet you were mischarged. Did you have to pay for those 91 days or your insurance coverage pay for all of that additional care? I would bet so.
Yeah, sure. The bill was astronomical. And, yes, so...
But only in healthcare, right?
Yes. Oh, yes.
If you went and bought a dishwasher that ended up going south and not working, or you got a car that malfunctioned right after getting it on the lot, you wouldn't be charged for that, right? You would be able to take it back.
They
you
saved my life, Cynthia.
They did save your life, but one could also argue how much of that was caused by a medical error.
You're getting so far above my pay grade that let's take it back to the milk real fast, though. Another thing that upsets me about the price of the milk, not knowing for 6 weeks what it's going to be. But then not only do they send me a bill for the milk, but then they send me a bill for the refrigeration of the milk. They send me a bill for the distribution of the milk to get it to the grocery store where I bought it. And then the anesthesiologist sends me a bill for keeping the milk asleep in my refrigerator. You understand? That's a...
Well, wait, you forget one more. Then they also charge you a facilities fee for the honor of having the milk stored in the grocery store.
Yes. You know, you would think that you would get a bill, right? And the idea that 63 different people charge you, and that's my number. I had 63 entities. Billing me at the end of my experience. I stayed at one business, you know, in my mind, it was business that was taking care of me, not 63.
Absolutely right. That's absolutely right. And so many Americans like you have their own stories, right? Of going for healthcare, not knowing what it's going to cost, being blindfolded to know prices before we get care. Then when you get care, you're blindsided by outrageous prices that you never expected to pay. And Jim, on top of it, I use the B's. Another B word. You're expected to pay with a blank check, whatever they choose to charge you. Even if you're insured,
yes,
you get surprised by other bills from physicians that are only on contract with that hospital and have their own billing outside of your insurance coverage. So, you know, Americans are, you know, the healthcare system is broken, and Americans are held hostage to this opaque system with many, many egregious levels of middle players and players at the trough capitalizing on the patient's misfortune. And the good news is, Jim, is that actually there's a big opportunity that lies ahead because of entrepreneurship and innovators. And that is those physicians and surgeons that have basically stepped out of that broken system and have started surgical centers like Texas Free Market Surgical, Oklahoma Surgical Institute, OSS Surgical in York, Pennsylvania. These enterprises are doing surgeries at price transparent prices. And if you went in for that a bowel resection at their surgical center, they would stand behind one price that they would quote you, and it would be posted online, and you and all patients would be charged the same amount. And if anything went south or wrong, you wouldn't pay any more. Why? Because they're going to stand behind that one price that they quoted you for their quality service and be both quality and price transparent. A novel concept. And guess what? These physicians and surgical centers and even primary care docs that are charging cash price, low prices, are doing it at about 40% lower than any other insured or claims data that has looked at historically. We actually saw Dr. Larry Van Horn at Vanderbilt looked at the actual data, and it's about 40% lower to go to these quality physicians and providers. That's the future.
And can they make money, though?
Yes, they can make money. And why? Because they attract customers from all over our country. Before COVID-19 and travel, people were actually traveling out of state, and employers were paying for travel expenses to go to these centers because it would save tens of thousands of dollars. And they would keep bonuses and wages, increased wages, back in their pockets as incentives to go to these innovative new entrepreneurial physicians and surgical centers.
And isn't this exactly what we see in optometry? The cornea replacements and all of the far-sight, near-sighted replacements that they're doing. You know, I hear things on ads on radio and stuff, you know, $199 per eye and stuff like that, you know?
Exactly. And that used to be thousands of dollars. I think it used to be
$7,000. There's true competition there, right? Is it the eye industry where true competition is happening in medicine?
You got it. In fact, if you look at the laser surgery, LASIK surgery is what they call it, or if you look at plastic surgery and you look over the past 10 years, the prices have nearly come down more than half in the marketplace because of competition. And that can actually be applied across the healthcare system if we just can see prices before we get care and let competition loose to drive down the costs of care and coverage.
I am so thankful that the plastic surgery prices have gone down. All of my surgeries, since I have plastic surgery about every 3 or 4 months, you know, I'm totally lying, by the way. And I can't undersee, you know, I don't want to buy the laser surgery for all three of my eyes. So why don't they just say $398 for both eyes? You know, I mean, that's, I just don't understand that one. So,
yeah,
this gets solved by you. So you, I think I read about the way this was working. You're going to organizations, businesses, and saying, this is your solution to your healthcare problem and to your insurance wacky premiums going up 42% a year. Is that how this problem gets solved, by the market embracing this?
Yes, I think that's the long-term solution, you know, where businesses and American workers, the American employers and taxpayers, basically, we are the consumers as patients of healthcare, right? We are the consumers. We pay for it. And it's really businesses that will stand up to say, hey, look, we're coming out of a pandemic economic crisis. We can't afford these runaway costs in healthcare. No more. I mean, small business and medium-sized businesses, Jim, over the past several years have seen increases in premiums nearly 14 to 20%. Larger businesses that have more negotiating leverage, 5 to 8% increases a year. Well, how is that when these actual innovators that I talked to you about that went out and went with a price transparent model, do you know what happened in the marketplace where they actually knew their costs and they removed all the layers of middlemen? Dr. Keith Smith at Oklahoma Surgical Center has told us since the 11 years when he started posting their prices online for all of their procedures, they've only lowered their prices. Four times they've changed them, and each time they've lowered them because they get more and more control over their costs, and they're able to pass those savings on to the patients. The same should be with any major hospital system anywhere in our country. And that discipline, as you know, as an entrepreneur yourself, comes from a market economy. And the only way you can have a market-based economy is if it's functional and you get to see prices and you put the consumer in control, in the driver's seat.
Yeah, you know, Cynthia, I hate to remind us of this, that we've gone a long way from market in the last month.
You are so right about that. We have government bailing out hospitals to the tune of nearly $200 billion, that's with a B, dollars, right? And now the insurance companies that are, you know, they should be like the car insurance companies, Jim, that are actually handing checks back for us not driving our cars during COVID. Because the health insurance companies, hospitals have shut down elective surgeries and emergency rooms other than COVID patients are down by 35 to 40% across the country.
Yeah, but you used your heart, liver, and lungs. You know, you didn't use your car. We're still insuring your heart, which you did use, you know, so.
Well, yeah. They're actually really prepaid medical. They're not really insuring that heart, right? So let's be real. They only have to pay out. So I'm hoping that we all get checks at the end of the year from our health insurance companies from the premiums that they've been able to invest over this time. But let's talk business about where policy is going to change. The only place it's really going to change is in Washington. And we've been doing market research and polling with the nonprofit I founded. Having come from the healthcare system, I'm actually fighting my own industry. And why? Because it's run amok. We can put these trends in reverse by putting the consumer in control, and the consumer doesn't have a voice in Washington. So I decided to put my own money and time and invested in fighting that fight. And I will tell you that there is the opportunity forward, because in the Harvard-Harris poll, 88% of Americans across, whether they were Republican or Democrats or independents, 88% supported government mandates of the healthcare industry, hospitals and insurers, and pharmaceutical companies to reveal their secret, hidden, negotiated prices so that we can know them before we get care. So now is this moment in time for all that bailout by government to actually provide accountability and transparency in the system and reward the consumer and the taxpayer. God willing they do it, Congress does it in the phase four stimulus next month.
You seem very hopeful, Cynthia. All this talk about next year, I am very skeptical that sort of accountability will be built in by the least accountable people on earth.
Well, you're right about that, Jim. But guess what we do have? We have the American consumer.
Yes.
And yeah. I will tell you, I'm not Pollyanna. I'm not too much of a crazy optimist, but I do see some light. And I see some light, as horrible as this COVID-19 pandemic is. And God bless the families that have lost loved ones or are fighting the illness themselves, and all the healthcare workers, the doctors and nurses on the front lines. The light that I see in this pandemic and disastrous time, putting great strain on the individual, families, our society, our country, our world at the matter. This is the light that I see. It is entrepreneurship and innovation. Why? What do we see with COVID-19? We are staying home and we have to secure our physical and mental health and our financial health, all from our smartphones, our telephones, our computers. And that has changed medicine to quickly break down the barriers and the silos that the healthcare industrial cartel has put up to keep these charades and status quo going, and has blazed them down to create a new world of telemedicine and virtual care, which, guess what, by its way, is price transparent. You know the price in most cases before you go on a telemedicine visit. Not only that, you don't have to get in a car. You can do it from your FaceTime or your GoToMeetings or Zoom call. And think about the difference that does for elder care, 24/7 care, rural care, urban care. It's going to enable patients and the consumers to have broad access at an affordable price and get quality care across our nation. That's a big deal. That's a really big deal. And so I think it's innovation and entrepreneurship that now out of this crisis will rise to create the American healthcare system that we can trust again.
And you know, the thing about telemedicine that I find so ironic is I go to the doctor and the doctor used to just take my blood, but now I have to go to the nearest lab and have the blood drawn there, which is a whole nother visit. Sometimes you have to get an appointment for that. You have to get a test scheduled for maybe a non-blood type thing, which they used to do in the office, because I remember them used to, you know, having it done in the office. Now the convenience is not there. You go to the doctor and you end up having three extra trips because of it. If I can eliminate the go to the doctor through the telemed, I'm going to do that. So, Cynthia, we're about out of time. I want to tell you a story first before we leave. Can I tell you a story?
Sure.
Okay, so these five high school kids that I know, 14, 15 years old, all Indian Americans living, you know, from Indian descent, families have come here, have started a business where they are going to replace plastic water bottles with Tetra Pak water boxes. It has a foil lining that separates from the box so that the entire thing is 100% biodegradable. They're going to sell it through the product promotion space. So if, for example, if you have an aquarium or a zoo or something like that, or the Cynthia Fisher Museum, you could have your face on your own water bottles or water boxes, I should say. Isn't that an amazing, uplifting story?
It is an amazing, uplifting story.
Does WaterRev want to invest in it?
Well, have them send me a business plan, and I'll be happy to look at their plan and look at their projections and consider it.
So I am a coach for an organization called TIE. It's a Indian Chamber of Commerce all around the world. They have a youth organization that runs a global business plan competition. The team that I just told you about won the Southeast competition and is now moving on to the global competition in July to present their water box initiative. And they already have several places that have expressed interest in ordering and buying their product.
Well, that's fantastic, and I know the organization well. It's a great organization, and I'm familiar with the Boston chapter up here in Massachusetts. So I'd be more than happy to consider this new intriguing novel technology in water that's going to go change the world.
I'm not going to put you on the spot. That's not fair. But you said yes to investing. So that's what I heard. Anyway.
Oh, boy. You're a great salesman, Jim.
Cynthia, will you come back later and talk history, and let's go through all of the amazing things that you have done with stem cell? We didn't even get to you and your amazing history, and I would love to do that some other time. Will you come back?
Absolutely. I would love to. I would enjoy wearing that hat and speaking with you again. This was fun.
Yes, and hopefully your husband will come back again. I don't want to... You can tell who your husband is, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to respect your privacy. But I would love to have him back, too. We only had 11 minutes with him. Do you want to tell what your husband's doing right now so we can get he can get some extra help for it? It's worth promoting.
Sure. So, yes, my husband is also an entrepreneur, and he likes to claim that he's in healthcare too, and he always says he's in mental healthcare, that he likes to make people happy. So I'll give him that. He also makes us laugh from time to time, right, Jim?
He is. He's hysterical. We had a great time, the two of us.
Well, I'm a straight man, so to speak, or straight woman. And my husband is Jim Cook, and he is the founder and chairman of the Boston Beer Company, maker of Sam Adams and Truly, our hard seltzer product, and Twisted Tea and Angry Orchard, and among others. So we have a lovely, wonderful liquid. I like to say that I, too, am in liquid assets. I was in blood, then water, and a bit in beer, and data. It has to flow, too. So, but all is well, and it's a fun household, that's for sure. It's never boring, Jim.
I can imagine. What a power couple. Had he already started? How long have you all been married? Let me ask it that way.
Oh, goodness. Now that's the real test. We have been married since 1994.
Wow.
That's a long time. Wow. Yeah.
Congratulations. Absolute. On that.
26 years.
Nothing more impressive than a long-term marriage. So,
thank you very much. Yeah. And two beautiful daughters. So we're very blessed.
Yes. Yes. The kids, there's nothing more important. How do we find out more about patientrightsadvocate.org? Is there a URL for patientrightsadvocate.org?
Yes, that you can go online and go to our website. And then we are also on Twitter. So feel free to follow us, and we encourage you to look at the videos online that tell not only patient stories, but these incredible successful business stories of where they've saved on their healthcare so substantially. And so we're really optimistic about the future, and we're still working Washington because we do believe that there's an opportunity for demanding price transparency system-wide, which and transparency across the system, even supply chain. It's a great thing to have accountability and transparency in Washington, D.C., but especially in healthcare. So I'm not giving up hope there, Jim. I'm going to still pound the pavement. I'm doing it virtually now, but I was pounding the pavement in Washington, packed my suitcase to bring the voice of the American consumer. And that's the patient, the worker, the employer, and the taxpayer. We're the consumers of healthcare to Washington.
Cynthia Fisher, everybody. Cynthia, thank you so very much for being with us. Great stuff.
Great stuff. Thank you, Jim.
We are out of time for today, but back tomorrow. Be safe, everyone. Take care, and go make $1 million by now.